Good morning and welcome to the Sunday School lesson of today, April 14, 2024, brought to you by the Redeemed Christian Church of God, Christ the Lord Parish, Lekki, Lagos. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we worship you and reverence your name. Thank you for enabling us to see a brand new day. Lord, as we go through today's lesson, we ask for the assistance of the Holy Spirit to give us understanding so that at the end of it, the word will work for our good. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Today's lesson is titled Broken Homes. Let us pray and say, O Lord, please heal all broken homes in the name of Jesus. Father, we commit all broken homes into your care. We ask, O Lord, that you shall heal them. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Last week, we discussed marriage status. Marriage was defined as a state of being united as man and woman in a consensual and contractual relationship recognized by law. It is an honorable institution meant to last for life. It has been observed that some marriages are in a state of coma where neither of the couple feels the presence of the other nor spends quality time with them, perhaps due to bitterness, selfishness, lack of consideration, and usually without any form of communication. Some marriages are virtually dead, as there seems to be no trace of true love. Where the couple lives together, there may be no emotional attachment or attraction between the two. As believers, God desires that we all have living marriages, where there is genuine love, usually characterized by sacrifice and patience. A living marriage is one where there exists the fear of God, there is love, mutual support and respect, forgiveness, kindness, commitment, appreciation, and acceptance, with the couple desiring to spend quality time together. As believers, we know that nothing is impossible for God to do, including reviving dying or dead marriages, if both parties commit all to the Lord. Now, going on to today's lesson, Broken Homes, the Bible passage is taken from the book of Genesis, chapter 25, 24 to 34. And I read, "And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb, and the first came out red all over like an hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. And the boys grew. And Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man, dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison. But Rebekah loved Jacob, and Jacob sowed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. And Esau said, behold, I am at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me? And Jacob said, swear to me this day, and he sware unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright." The memory verse for today's lesson is taken from the book of Mark 3, verse 25. "And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand." So we go on to the lesson introduction. Families are the bedrock of society. When they fall apart, society falls into social and cultural decline. God's plan for the home is unity in body and spirit, as we see in Psalm 133, verse 1, which says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." A broken home is one where the parents are separated or divorced, and this has huge consequences, not only for the children involved, but also the estranged partners. Today, we will examine the causes and remedies of broken homes. We start with lesson outline 1, causes of broken homes. There are several causes of broken homes, including but not limited to the following. Number one, cultural shift. This is when there's a decline of religion and morality. A marriage that starts out with a couple not sharing a common faith and beliefs is already on shaky ground. The Bible warns us in 2 Timothy 3, 1-5, that there will be godlessness in the last days, where people will live reckless and selfish lives, unforgiving, loving themselves and money, but without love for others. Two, wrong choice in marriage. Marriage is a godly institution which must be entered into carefully, not rushed into. Certain factors are more important than others. For instance, the faith of the person one wants to marry is critical, as well as the person's character and the potential he has, more than his financial status starting off. If a man's main focus is on physical beauty, for instance, or the woman's is on money, that may be a recipe for disaster later in the marriage. Number three, negative influence of parents and friends. The Bible teaches in Genesis 2:24 that a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. Where either couple refuses to leave and cleave to his partner, this will affect the marriage. Four, lack of genuine sacrificial love. A good marriage will entail sacrificial love. The Bible tells us in 1 John 3:16 that we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. Five, communication breakdown. For a marriage to work well, there must be effective communication, whether the marriage is going on well or there's misunderstanding. Communication happens when one person speaks and the other hears it and understands it. There is a problem when one partner refuses to speak, such as when there is a disagreement, so that person is not communicating, and that person prefers to stir it up or sweep issues under the carpet, bearing grudges. This will lead to a weakened marriage. Number six, sexual unfaithfulness between a couple. When there's sexual unfaithfulness, this will cause or weaken a marriage. So Hebrews 13:4 teaches that marriage bed must be kept pure. Once a partner goes out of the marriage to explore things around, this is a sign of impurity, disrespect for the partner, and the cause of many marriage breakdowns. Seven, stinginess, meanness, or poor economic planning is another cause of broken homes. One partner cannot hoard money and focus on spending that of the other. Whilst it is expected that the head of the home provides for the needs of the family, couples must learn to spend their money together. Number eight, preference for a child over another. This is the case of our Bible reading of today, where Isaac preferred Esau because he was a skillful hunter, and Rebekah preferred the homely Jacob. When you start choosing favorites among your children, this cannot make for trust and genuine love among members of the family. Number nine, undue attachment to things other than the family. Though it is good to work hard to provide for the family, there must be a work-life balance. Providing alone will not make for a happy home. Both partners should have time for each other and their children. And number 10, worldly pleasures. Where the focus of a partner is an acquisition of things rather than building up the family unit, there will be tension in the home. The Bible tells us not to love the world and the things in it. There are other factors as well, such as battery. For instance, one partner batters the other. This can only lead to weaken a marriage or even lead to a break of the marriage. May the Lord help our marriages and build our marriages up in Jesus' name. Lesson outline two, effects of broken homes. The first one, abandonment of the home. This is where either partner leaves the other and the children, and it affects the children especially as they miss the guidance of the missing parents, whether father or mother. Though they may try, mothers are often unable to replace fathers in the lives of their children and vice versa. The second effect of broken homes, either or both live alone or with strange fellows. Man was made to be a social being. In Genesis 2:18, God says, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper for him." Number three, emotional stress arising from abandonment, especially the children who may begin to feel an inferiority complex among their friends, and some will withdraw completely into their shells. Children may also lose interest in relationships, with some deciding never to marry. Children also suffer antisocial behaviors. For instance, many will start hanging out with the wrong crowd and may get influenced by them. Sometimes they are so badly affected they drop out of school, get into drugs, and waste their lives. Such end up as the area boys we see around today. And then number four, sometimes as a result of the above, children who fall by the wayside with no meaningful lives take to crime, as they have no other meaningful life. So what are the remedies for broken homes? The first one, embrace the love of Jesus through salvation. The foundation of a marriage is important, and the best way is for both partners to be saved. When they love God, they'll be able to love each other unconditionally and then express this love to their children too. Number two, commit everything to God in prayer. God is greater than any difficulty there is. Number three, ask God to make you a better person in the circumstances. Remember Psalm 51 verse 10 says, "Create in me a new heart and renew a right spirit within me." Number four, seek the help of other Christians who are genuinely saved and are spiritually mature. They may be able to share from their own experience or what they have seen in other marriages to guide and help. Number five, you can also seek professional help and counsel where this is necessary. Number six, forgive and seek reconciliation or restoration. Offenses happen all the time, but there should be room for reconciliation. And number seven, patiently meet your spouse at the point of need. Going on to the class activities. The first class activity says, discuss the role which the husband, wife, and children must play to prevent a broken home. There is a standard structure in the Bible. Christ is the head of a home, and then the husband is the head of the wife, and then the wife, then before the children. So if each of them should play their roles, then there would be no problem. Also, husband and wife should spend time together and not take each other for granted. They should spend their money together, and when they offend each other, they must be determined to forgive. Remember 1 Peter 4:8 says, "Love covereth a multitude of sin." The second class activity says, discuss other things which you have heard, seen, or experienced, which have helped to secure an exemplary Christian home. So where the whole family gathers to study the word and pray together, it helps the family. The children will learn from the example of their children, of their parents, pardon me. Also, when children are not left at home, when their parents go to church but they go with them, this helps to build the home. In conclusion, broken homes can be described as broken lives. Do all you can to make your family strong and united. So we go on to the closing prayer. Say, Almighty Father, please keep our homes in your perfect love. Father, we commit our homes into your care. We ask, O Lord, even for help. We ask you, Lord, even that you shall keep our homes in your perfect love. Where there are broken homes or unhappy homes, where there is lack of unity, Lord, come and bind them together in love once more in the name of Jesus. Thank you, our Father and our God, for answered prayers. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord.